Rain gear? Can't live without it. It keeps you dry, makes those soggy chores much more manageable. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered from head to toe, literally, with great prices on rain pants, jackets, boots, and more. Shop in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
70 AM, The Zone. Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You know that phrase we use, Wisconsin weather, just wait a minute and it will change? Well, that's kind of the pattern we've got for the next couple of days. Morning, everybody. It's a Thursday and I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke helping you roll into it. Yeah, the weather is going to be a little erratic over the next couple of days. For today, expect sunshine. We'll warm up to right around 81 degrees. Tonight, down to 59. And then for Friday, we've got partly cloudy skies in the forecast. 82 our expected high. Can't rule out the possibility of an afternoon shower or thunderstorm tomorrow. Like I said, 82 the expected high. Little cooler on Saturday under sunny skies, 79 degrees. And then we brush that off, and all of a sudden Sunday, we're back up to highs right around 88 degrees. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, has a few more details on that forecast coming up. Also this morning, visiting with Cody Koster from the EverAg Group down in Chicago. Dairy markets yesterday in Chicago were a little mixed, but one thing you cannot deny, the barrel and block cheese price spread, pretty big. Why is that, and how long is it going to last? Cody Koster taking a look at that, and also what dairy farmers need to keep an eye on when it comes to corn supplies. Never lacking things to talk about. We'll get started in just a moment.
The landscape across the central Corn Belt is going through some changes. The old authorities are starting to fade, and today are being replaced by a more dedicated, harder-working, higher-performing seed corn company. One with a team of folks raised right here and ready to serve. Whoa, boy, looks like there's a new sheriff in town. Wiffles Hybrids, quite possibly the best hybrids you can buy.
A lot of the talk right now is about the harvest. How's the corn silage harvest going? When are we going to get to beans? Bob Bosel here at the northern end of the world's longest barn. But there's another harvest that's going on in gardens all over the country. As now we're getting into let's reap the benefits of the growing season. And that means we can't eat it all at once. Stephanie, we got to put some of it away, but doing it right is a very big part of the preservation of our garden bounty, isn't it?
That's absolutely right, Bob. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. You're right, it's that time of year. Harvesting, canning, pickling, leaving stuff on your neighbor's porch. And whether you're new to the game or a well-seasoned canner, we need to remember that you need to can your food safely. So UW Extension Specialist Heather Quackenbaugh shares with me how to keep food safe when preserving it, whether that be using a hot water bath or a pressure canner. And then she also shares how to purchase and maintain those correct tools for the job.
You know, we started the season with our jams, right? Usually the berries are first, so strawberry jam and raspberry, blueberry. We maybe did peaches, and all of those can be safely done in a hot water bath. And now we're getting into some vegetables, which don't necessarily have the acidity. And we have to think about, is this acidic enough to only put in a hot water bath, or do I need my pressure canner? And for the most part, if something's pretty acidic, so your tomatoes are probably fine in a hot water bath, depending on what you put in them. If you decide, I'm just going to make some salsa with a lot of basil and garlic, we might need to think about the pressure canner. If you're going to can spaghetti sauce and add meat, we definitely need the pressure canner. So that acidity is going to be important when you're looking at what to can. And a great place to find that, and what we link to at Extension, is the National Center for Home Food Preservation. So you know, okay, this needs a hot water bath, and this definitely needs a pressure canner.
Heather, I mean, in your position with UW Extension, what are some of those big questions you're getting?
You know, generally, well, pressure canners are honestly one of those questions we get a lot of questions about, because pressure canners are, frankly, scary. And I remember as a kid looking at this big behemoth of a thing on the stove that was spitting and angry and making terrible noises, and I wanted nothing to do with that. And in all honesty, those terrible noises is the venting and the steaming, because a pressure canner inside gets hotter than just a hot water bath canner. And so that temperature can get above 212 degrees, which is what vegetables need. So when folks call in, they're like, okay, is this normal with my pressure canner? What do I need to look for? And what you need to look for on that pressure canner, if you have a gauge on that, we can test that gauge for you and make sure that it's accurate, because you want the right pounds of pressure when you are canning something to make sure that it's going to be safe at the end. If you have a weighted gauge, you know, that's on there, and it's going to rattle and make some noise. So that's very, very normal. You're also going to want to check your seal on the pressure canner to make sure that that rubber gasket is not cracked, that it's not leaking, that it's, you know, bendy, that it can move a little bit and it's not getting hard like old rubber bands. That's not a good sign, and you're going to need to replace that. So a lot of the questions we get is my pressure canner okay to use? And a lot of us, including me, are using pressure canners that we have gotten from our family and from generations ago. And honestly, those are pretty good. You do need to replace that gasket sometimes. You do need to really check the gauge if you have a gauge pressure canner. Most of the time, those are going to be really nice to use. And it's a little bit of nostalgia for us when we're doing it, too.
I like that we're talking about the tools and reminding people that those tools for the job also need to be maintained. Because if your food is not safe to eat, Heather, what do those consequences look like?
Oh, you know, the worst thing is botulism. And in all honesty, in canned food, that's where we find it most. Botulism exists sometimes on fresh fruits and vegetables, which is why we wash them, but that bacteria can't grow in just in normal air. Once we put it in a jar and can it, that's when it's like, hey, here's my time to shine. We don't want that for botulism. So when we do can something, we can reuse jars as many times as you want. Jars can be reused all the time. The rings for those jars, those can be reused. The lids for those jars, we do need to replace those every year. Once you use a lid, then it's done. We need to throw that away just to make sure that we have the right seal and that our food is safe. Now, last year we did have a canning lid shortage. This year, we can find them in stores. A lot of times you find them, and there is a rule of only take two, or you can only take three. There's a limit this year. And there's a lot of folks buying stuff online, which is okay. You just really want to make sure that it fits your jar, is good for your jar. And, you know, I did myself buy a few things online, and there's some that don't have the rubber on the jar lid. So you do have to really check those when you do get them. I actually also this year had a lid, a ring that didn't quite fit on the jar. And, well, there was a little bit of a mess in the pressure canner after that. So sometimes when you're like, oh, it'll be fine, no, it's not.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that shortage, because we talked about that earlier this summer, and we're still seeing one. Is that what you alluded to?
Well, we are seeing things on the shelves. And there's more jars with the lids available. Just the lids, it's a little bit tougher to find, but if you're looking for them, you can find them. And online, they're certainly there. I do have to say there's quite the price difference online than there are in the stores. There are folks who have likely bought a lot and are deciding to sell them for quite a profit. And so really, if you are going to look online, be sure that you're getting a quality product and make sure that you aren't getting, you know, a bad deal.
Heather, are you watching supply on other things we use in canning, whether that's herbs, spices, or other ingredients people are using in their canning recipes?
You know, I haven't seen any shortage of any of the ingredients. I know vinegar for a time last year was a little bit harder to find, and I'm seeing vinegar on the shelves. And that's something, like right now, we're starting to have pickles come out of our ears, and zucchini is being left on everyone's porches because we have too much, right? And I am seeing that we do have enough vinegar to pickle and ferment our foods. The other big one is salt, and I haven't seen that not on the shelves. So I know we have enough salt. So a lot of the ingredients for that is there. And sometimes when we don't find things, we can modify. I mean, I think a lot of us have been baking at home and realize, oh, I don't have any eggs, or I'm out of baking soda. What could I use instead? And sometimes we can find alternatives that work just fine.
As a new canner, I'm always looking for, I guess, the easy thing to do. And I don't know what you've seen amongst beginners or if you've given advice, but what's an easy way to get started in canning your own food?
You know, honestly, tomatoes are going to probably be one of your easiest. Tomatoes are so versatile in being able to dice them or make sauce or crush them or have them whole. And the only part that you have to get a little bit used to is you take the skin off before you put them in that canning jar, because otherwise that skin after you can, that's just gross, and nobody wants to eat that. So that's just blanching the skin a little bit. You put the tomatoes in boiling water and then put them in cold water, and then that skin comes off really nicely. Fortunately, for the last number of years, my kids have liked that. And for some reason, getting the skin off tomatoes is a kind of a fun thing for them. But after you have those tomatoes prepared, they're going to be fairly easy to can because they can be in a hot water bath. And I know that feels a lot more accessible than a pressure canner. So tomatoes, salsa, things like that are going to be pretty easy. Pickling can be easy because of that acidity as well. You're using a lot of vinegar, and so it's going to be a little bit more safe for us to really know that our food's going to be okay. Once you get into things like my beans are going gangbusters again, so I know, okay, beans I'm going to have to do, I need to do those in a pressure canner because they don't have the acidity, and I don't necessarily want to make dilly beans or beans that are pickled. So just canned beans are going to be a pressure canner. A lot of our vegetables after that, carrots, zucchini, okra, those will need that pressure canner. And then once you store them, what the best practice is to let everything cool. And once it's cool, take those rings off. And I know your jar looks a little bit naked after that, once you take that ring off. But when you take the ring off, wash the jar. That helps because then you know if something's really not sealed. And when you pick it up and you're going to use it, you know, oh, wow, this was not sealed. I just need to throw this completely away because that's not going to be safe to eat. So it's a little bit safer to take those rings off, wash them, store them for next year. So then all you have to buy next year, instead of the jars, rings, and lids, you just need those lids.
I'm sure some of our listeners wish they had you on speed dial.
This is why we are here. I mean, honestly, we can answer any questions that folks have for canning. And my number at the office is 608-785-9593. And we can answer your questions about food preservation or set up an appointment to have your pressure canner tested. I think it's amazing that folks are getting back to canning. We're buying more local food. We're starting to grow more of our food. And it's really almost a throwback to, you know, what my mom or my grandmother or her grandmother did. And it's neat to know where things come from. And it's so nice to, in the middle of winter, pull something off your shelf and say, wow, I made this. I preserved this. I have a little taste of the summer now in February when it's cold and miserable and I don't know if I'll ever be warm again. So it's really something neat to do and really does help our lives and our sustainability.
And there you have it from Heather Quackenboss, a UW Extension specialist out of La Crosse. If you'd like to have UW Extension test your pressure canner, again, that phone number is 608-785-9593. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Attorney John Raihala with Clifford and Raihala.
When you ride a motorcycle, you can face serious risks from cars around you. It's a fact. Some car drivers don't watch for motorcycles, and they don't see you. Even if they do, some cars don't give bikes the space they need to drive safely. A collision between a motorcycle and a car can be devastating. If this happens to you, we can help. At Clifford and Raihala, we know that motorcycle riders can suffer life-changing injuries in a crash, and we can help you recover the compensation you deserve. If you or someone you care for has been in a motorcycle crash, call Clifford and Raihala for a free consultation. We'll fight to help you receive your maximum recovery.
For relentless dedication to helping you and your family, choose Clifford and Raihala, hardworking, skilled attorneys fighting for you. For justice, myjustice.com.
How is it that we can have smoker's lines without ever smoking?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Smokers or lip lines can occur not only because of smoking, but other factors, such as talking, drinking from a straw, genetics, and age-related fat loss. The most simple and effective treatment for this problem is a combination of dermal fillers such as Juvederm, which can smooth and fill those fine lines as well as hydrate the lips. Also, a neuromodulator such as Botox can be used in small amounts to relax those pursing muscles. At Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie, this treatment results in a natural, more youthful appearance of the mouth and often lasts a year or longer.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, it is time for us to find out what's coming our way weather-wise, and I'll tell you what, things are changing just a little bit. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. So probably, temperature-wise, it's not changing so much, but it does look like we've got a possibility of moisture, what, coming in by tomorrow afternoon?
By tomorrow, if we're looking at western and northwest Wisconsin, in fact, northwest Wisconsin, Eau Claire may have a sprinkle this morning, Pam.
Not much,
but
though.
It's just not amounting.
Yeah, that's...
No, not amounting to much at all. But a low pressure system is trying to build a cool front on into Minnesota today. And that northeast Arrowhead part of Minnesota has some rain. And a few scattered little sprinkly showers have pushed into far northwest Wisconsin. Not going to be a big deal for most of us, you know, as we go from La Crosse to Mauston and across to Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Beaver Dam, Madison. We're talking about sunshine today. No chance that rain's going to build in here. Another day to work on harvest operations and even manure hauling like I saw yesterday. But that front does approach, and some rain will develop tomorrow, first in western Wisconsin in the morning, and then in the east later in the afternoon and into the nighttime, and rain amounts in the east and south, even up to a quarter or maybe a half an inch could be seen. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Farmers understand return on investment. They understand the power and the value of the sun.
Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is just another opportunity for them to look for that power and that value. It's a business decision. Everything that farmers do and don't do on their land and their with their property is money. So one of the things that I heard one farmer say, it's a crop that I am yielding. Instead of harvesting corn on this little section, he's harvesting sunlight to make electricity. You should reach out to us, and we will come out there for a very specialized, specific quote for you to look at your farm. We can put solar anywhere. We can put it on a barn. We can put it on the ground. We can put it on a hill. So we can put it anywhere that makes sense to you and your farm and your situation. And then once we design that, even powering your whole farm, you can harvest enough sunlight to have a $0 energy bill.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com to start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
Yeah, the green's out there for now, but I'm guessing pretty quick we're going to start to see colors begin to change. The weather forecast is going to help that out.
Well, it's that time of year. It's time for some of those trees to start changing. Hopefully we haven't seen a lot of stress around here this year to make them more subdued. Hopefully they're bright and nice. Sunny today, very nice day. A lot of upper 70s. There'll be an 80 here or there. South winds about 5 to 10. We stay clear overnight. Very upper 50s to around 60. South winds at 5 to 10. There's Friday. In the east and south, some morning sun. More clouds in the west. Even some rain chance in the morning in the west. More likely clouds build in, and we all see some shower or thunderstorm activity developing in the afternoon. We'll still be in the upper 70s, almost 80. South winds become northwest in the afternoon at 5 to 10. Rain may linger into Friday night. up to a quarter inch in the west, a quarter to half inch further east and south. By Saturday, back to sunny skies, mid-70s with a northeast breeze, and then back into the 80s, Pam, for Sunday and Monday. But toward Tuesday, another round of a scattered shower or storm activity could be seen.
But at least it's only scattered, not like we're looking at extended periods of wet.
No.
Huh?
No, it's not going to start raining rain for 3 days. We're not going to get inches either, but I think Tuesday there'll be a shower storm popping up.
All right, good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow for the final details, okay?
Sounds good. See you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with weather details that you're looking for on a Thursday morning. And like he said, follow along. Give us your rainfall reports. Toll free 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You rarely think about it, and it often goes unnoticed until your basement or building floods. A reliable sump pump can be a lifesaver, preventing flooding by detecting water levels and pumping the water back outside, away from your home or business. If your sump pump isn't functioning, contact your friends at Benjamin Plumbing. They can replace your existing sump pump, floats, and check valves. They'll even upgrade your current system to include a battery backup system. The battery makes sure your system continues to work in the event of a power outage. Away from home, receive pump activation alerts on your smart device. Enjoy peace of mind and improve the value of your property with an upgraded sump pump from Benjamin Plumbing.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
Tom Spitz
and David Fink of Settlers Bank, your local independent bank.
We're the premier provider of commercial, treasury, mortgage, and private banking services.
Our team blends experience with the latest technology to make banking easier.
We provide the advice and solutions you need.
To learn more, stop by or visit SettlersWI.com.
Settlers Bank, timely decisions, people you know.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, Grandma. What's for dinner?
Hey, honey, I'm making stew tonight.
Ooh, can Nina come over?
I'm not sure about our new friend. I wonder if there's been any drinking going on. Alcohol at her age can lead to so many bad things.
I've been meaning to ask you, what would happen if someone offered you a drink?
Grandma?
This is hard. She's so young, but I know I need to talk to her about it now before someone tries to give her alcohol.
If anyone ever does offer you a drink, I want you to say no. I have too much respect for my family, and I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
Really?
I promise, Grandma.
I love you, too.
Okay, how about tasting this stew and telling me what you think?
Some children may try alcohol as young as 9 years old. It's not too early to talk about drinking. For tips on how to begin the conversation, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
On August 25th, 2021, the Madison Police Department was contacted by a Wisconsin resident living outside of Dane County. The reporting party told MPD that they received a call from a 608 area code. The caller identified himself as a fundraiser working on behalf of MPD collecting money for injured officers. When reporting the incident, the reporting party said they did not provide any money to the caller and that the caller hung up when the reporting party told them they were uncomfortable with the call. MPD is not involved in any telephone-based fundraising efforts and will not attempt to collect funds over the phone for any reason. MPD would like to remind residents to be extremely cautious if providing funds to anyone over the phone. Never provide funds in the form of gift cards and contact your local police department if you're suspicious of a call you have received. If you have any information regarding similar calls, please contact the Madison Police Department at 255-2345. If you wish to remain anonymous, please contact Madison Area Crime Stoppers at 266-6014 or on the web at p3tips.com. Individuals contacting Crime Stoppers can receive up to $1,000 in cash rewards for tips that lead to an arrest.
This is Jeff Dunn from Dunn's Import in Middleton. Impulse buying. Be careful. Have common sense. I hear a few times a year how we went to Chicago and bought this car because it was an unbelievable deal and I really love the color. Then the beating begins. We want to inspect your purchase before the money is on the table. So do you. We can help you with your import car decisions before it's too late. Call Dunn's Import in Middleton for a buyer's inspection first.
Educated Mortgage.
Mortgage Man.
Interest rates are at all-time lows, and home equity is at all-time highs. You know what that means? You can save big money by refinancing your mortgage loan. Whether you want to just save a few hundred dollars a month, consolidate some debt, or get money for home improvements, now's the time to call me.
Educated Mortgage, the smartest way home. Call Dan, the Mortgage Man.
And NMLS number 222652.
Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 10 Pro. Enjoy specials on Dell docks, monitors, and servers. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. So call 877-ASK-DELL to speak with a Dell Technologies advisor.
You're my parent, and I'll always need you.
No matter their age, your children never stop counting on you. Visit parenting.org or call the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 for free parenting advice.
Ryan Joseph Braun. The Braunchise. He has called it a career after 14 years, Rowdy. 14 years for Ryan Joseph Braun. Man. Where did the time go, Nelly?
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday, too, and I go, man, it just seems like not too long ago he was breaking onto the scene, and then you look back and go, actually, that was 2007.
Where?
That was 14 years ago.
Where has the time gone? Rowdy, Ryan Joseph Braun, drafted 2005, debuts in 2007, Rookie of the Year. 2011 NL MVP, five-time Silver Slugger, six-time All-Star for Ryan Joseph Braun. Wow. Let's let Ryan Braun talk.
Hey, Brewer fans, Ryan Braun here. This is an exciting time to be following the Brewers, and like you, I'm enjoying every minute of it. While we're taking it all in, I wanted to take a minute to share some news with you. On May 25th, 2007, I took the field for the first time in a Major League uniform. Today, more than 14 years later, I have decided to officially retire as an active player. While it's impossible to summarize my emotions right now, what I feel most is one simple thing, gratitude. And I just wanted to take the time to say thank you. I've been incredibly fortunate to be joined by countless amazing teammates, coaches, support staff, friends and family for this incredible ride. To the fans, thank you for showing me and my family unconditional love and always making us feel like we truly belong to this community. Thank you for packing the ballpark night in and night out for 14 years.
Ryan.
You make coming to the ballpark every day a joy, and I cannot imagine a better playing experience than being a Brewer for life.
No.
Thank you for the encouragement, support, and motivation.
Thank you for
the memories, the postseason runs, the moments I'll never forget. I'm coming back to town for the last home game of the regular season on Sunday, September 26th, and I hope you'll be there to celebrate with me.
Ryan.
Until then, go Brewers.
Rowdy, hold me. Hold me, Rowdy.
And that's how you know we both stand a little bit differently on this subject.
I voted Ryan Braun forever in our Twitter poll. Rowdy said he's indifferent. Oh, young Ben Kenny.
Good morning. You guys are going to make me cry, and I don't even like the man.
Well, Rowdy's not going to cry. If anything, Rowdy's probably smiling with his heart.
There's a little bit of me that said, finally.
You had a t-shirt jersey of Ryan Braun.
Yeah, and he also stabbed me in the back.
No! Forgive him, Rowdy. Forgive the man.
This is what I want to get into for the next 4 hours when I'm on with Ebo, but do you think Ryan Braun's on the Mount Rushmore of all-time Brewers?
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
My answer is yes, but I wish you would have said no.
Hey, as a Phillies fan, how do you feel about Ryan Braun?
I'm happy he's retiring, which tells you all, that tells you
but
how
so
great
is Rowdy.
He is. Yeah, I don't get that.
I was very adamant, probably since 2018, that they better not pick up that option, and I'm looking at the option years in advance.
But, it's not all about how he's going to play. You're not a little, emotional.
I love you, Ryan.
Guys like that, it's, for the last 10 years, he's, an integral part of every baseball game you watch.
Yeah, but he just rubs you the wrong way.
Ben.
And unlike Jesus, my name is not Jesus Christ. I don't forgive everyone.
Rowdy, Ryan Braun took PEDs to win. Ryan Braun's cross to bear is the PEDs. Therefore, he is the Jesus of PEDs
okay.
in Milwaukee.
Okay, well, Becker...
It's his cross to bear!
Becker messages in, and this was actually the first thing I thought, too, when I heard his message that he put out. He goes, God, he even sounds fake AF in that video.
No!
I agree with him. It almost seems like he's reading it off. Like, it's not heartfelt from the heart, just... Hey, this is what it is. I'm retiring. I'm going to be back right off the cuff. This is like a written down, almost like he's got a teleprompter.
Well,
no, but who cares about the message? Like, he's been one of their best players
the last decade. Ben,
you this just is can't like have right a little off a bit teleprompter, of yourself that's like, sad he's going?
That's fine.
He's reading off
fine.
A teleprompter. It doesn't sound sincere at all. It almost seems like weird timing that he's announcing it now.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
It's kind of
it now.
Like a me thing.
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sunshine today in 81. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers or maybe even a thunderstorm by tomorrow afternoon. 82, the expected high on Friday. We're talking a little bit about weather when Cody Koster from EverAg joins us this morning. I know that he wants to focus in on what's happening as far as the corn supplies are concerned across the United States. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the big spread we're seeing between the price on barrel and block cheese. He joins us live in about 15 minutes. I'm PM Yankee. Now, from the Alcivia Farm News Desk, here's what's happening on a Thursday. So today is the 16th day of September. On this day in 1920, a bomb exploded on Wall Street in New York City, killed 38 people. It was considered the deadliest act on American soils to that date. And you know what? They still don't know who was responsible for the bombing. Happened on this day in 1920. On this day in 1908, General Motors Corporation is founded in Flint, Michigan. William C. Durant and Charles Stewart Mott were the two founders. The company, also known as GM, was one of the world's largest manufacturers of cars and trucks. Most notably, they manufactured Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Pontiac, and Hummer brand vehicles. Started on this day back in 1908. Happy birthday to comedian Amy Poehler. She's 50 years young. And Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers turns 29 years today. And now you know. Big shout out this morning to Rosie Lisway from Chilton. She's a dairy producer that's been elected the new president of the Wisconsin Beef Council Board. Rosie Lisway will lead the 23-member board as their president for the next 2 years. She took over the post after Val Gaffney, a seed stock producer from Barneveld, completed her 2-year term as president. Along with Rosie Lisway on the board, they elected Amy Radentz from Ellsworth as president-elect. She serves on behalf of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association. And Kurt Larson from the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Barns accepted the position of secretary-treasurer. Rosie Lisway says one of her goals as president is to make sure farmers know exactly where their beef checkoff dollars are going.
Being elected as president is an honor. I am excited to be serving the position. One of the goals I really would like to see is the producers knowing where their dollar is going, what it's being spent on, the advertising, the promotion, to help move their product if it's within the country or exporting it out of our country. I think there's great value there. And if there's anyone out there that would like to learn more about the beef checkoff, have information where their dollar goes, what it's toward, you can give me a call. You can call the office. We're always open to talk to you and explain the value you're getting for your dollar.
Rosie Lisway, dairy farmer from Chilton, the new president of the Wisconsin Beef Council Board. You know, that theme of making sure you know where money is going and what it's getting for you is a theme throughout all of agriculture. You know, if you're starting to take a look at your feed supplies going into the winter and you say, I think I might be coming up a little short. Maybe you're looking at trying to purchase something like corn silage. But how do you purchase corn silage? Every field's a little different. Well, that's the question that I posed to Ryan Steery. He is the St. Croix County Agriculture Agent, and he's got a formula to help you get that answer. Steery says this year has been a unique year, depending on where you are in the state.
But yeah, definitely. There's, you know, old rules out there take, you know, so much times the price of cash grain per bushel. that still works in a lot of cases. We do have an app and spreadsheet that's a little more detailed, that gets a little more into, especially on the spot pricing. It's how do you properly compensate a corn grower for you're removing a little bit more residue, a little bit more nutrient removal. How do you account for harvest costs and those things? So you can do it as simple or do it a little more in-depth depending on what benefits your situation.
Well, maybe I'm putting the cart in front of the horse, Ryan. What do you see as far as demand for corn silage this year? Has everybody got as much as they need, or do you think that this could be a year when marketing that product is going to be a conversation a lot of people are having?
I really think it's all over the board. I don't have a great answer on that. I would say, yes, I've seen some more demand. It really depends on where you are in the state. I know over by me, we were dry there for a stretch, and so hay supplies were getting strained. That second and third crop wasn't what we wanted it to be. We did get some late rain that did help that last cutting of hay, so there's still a little stress out there on getting enough forage for the winter. But I do hear different things on this last cutting, whether that helped, you know, I think that helped a lot of people catch up, but not everybody. Mm-hmm. And also talking, I'm right on the western border here in San Croix County. You don't have to go very far west here, get into that Minnesota, Iowa area, and there's a lot more stress from what I've seen and heard. Just how the corn crop looks and forage supplies in general.
Ryan Steery, he is the St. Croix County Agriculture Agent, trying to guide folks that are looking at trying to purchase corn silage, be it in the field or in a bunk. Now, like he pointed out, they've got spreadsheets. They also have an app that's available to help you with some of those field side calculations. If you're starting to shop, you can find it on the University of Wisconsin Extension website. Steery also says that he suggests you talk to your area agronomist, your nutritionist, and of course you can talk to your county extension agent and they'll get you channeled in the right direction too. If you're looking to buy or sell corn silage or any other feedstock for that matter, don't forget the University Extension has created that farmer-to-farmer website that allows you to list any of the feedstocks you've got available to sell, and in turn, it lets folks turn around and try to shop statewide for feedstocks they might be looking for. That's the farmer-to-farmer website through University Extension. We'll take a quick break coming up in a moment. We'll glance at the numbers as they change on their way into a Thursday trade session. And then Cody Koster from EverEgg joining us live.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Say, have you heard of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation? Yes, it's the grassroots organization of people just like you that care about keeping agriculture strong. By joining Farm Bureau, you also qualify for money-saving member benefits, like savings on select Case IH equipment and more. Get more details at WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers,
a vision for agriculture,
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Well, markets in overnight electronic trade as far as the grain trade's concerned are holding firm. Currently, December corn's up 2¾ cents at 5.36¼. November soybeans are up 6 at $13.5. The December wheat is unchanged at 7.12¼. July new crop wheat down 2, 7.08¼. Dairy markets, well, the October milk yesterday closed 12 cents lower at 17.15 a hundredweight, while November milk was down a nickel at 17.06 a hundredweight. As far as the dairy markets were concerned in Chicago, barrel cheese yesterday gained a half a cent at 1.49¼. 40-pound block cheese, that was down a half a cent at 1.79½, and the AA butter stayed unchanged at 1.82¾ per pound. You know, I realize that you may not be real excited about the yields that you're looking at, be it corn silage or projecting ahead to what's coming your way as far as corn or soybeans are concerned. But I'll tell you, whatever we're getting in Wisconsin's probably a far cry better than what they're seeing in South Dakota. This week's crop ratings report showed South Dakota's corn crop is ranked the worst in the nation. USDA's chief meteorologist, Brad Rippey, says the worst-looking corn is in the middle of the country this year. And he says, despite the corn rating, South Dakota's soybeans don't look any better.
Leading the way for soybeans, rated very poor to poor, North Dakota 42%, just behind South Dakota 41%, and third place Minnesota coming in at 25%, very poor to poor.
Yep, that's soybean ratings for the states of North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota from USDA's chief meteorologist, Brad Rippey. Right now, USDA says South Dakota's corn crop is going to produce 751 million bushel. That's up 3% from last year's production. But the state's soybean production, well, that's a completely different situation. That is going to be down 7% from last year. Rippey says that there is one brighter spot for South Dakota farmers to look at, and that's sorghum production, forecast at 18.5 million bushel, up 63% from last year. But again, stop and imagine how many acres of sorghum were planted last year versus this. So just a quick snapshot on where the market stands. A couple different topics we want to talk about next with Cody Koster from the EverAg Group in Chicago. Still a pretty big price spread between barrel and block cheese in Chicago. Why is that persisting? And we have to take a look at those corn supplies all around the United States. How is that going to impact a dairy farmer's bottom line when it comes to feed expenses? Cody Koster joining us live from Chicago next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Teenage driver coming aboard your policy? Talk to Prairie Land Insurance about a good student discount.
When other companies offer you only one solution, Madison's Prairie Land Insurance Agency offers you a wide array of personalized, affordable options. Is your current policy really the best? Talk to Prairie Land Insurance Agency, your local, independent home and auto insurance agency. For your free insurance review, call 251-3009. Prairie Land Insurance Agency.
Our best is the very least we can do.
Whether you compete on the court, at the track, on the field, or in the fields, winning isn't just a goal. It's a mindset shaped, honed, and defined throughout the season. That's why farmers pushing themselves to be the best plant DeKalb brand corn. Wherever you compete, winning has roots. Perform at your best with DeKalb. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
If you're talking, they will hear you. Every single time.
Now we're getting killed.
Yeah, well, Kyle's not here.
How come?
Kicked off the team. Didn't Tim tell you? Kyle and some other kids got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Come on, it's a first offense, right?
That we know of. But why should that matter? He knew not to drink. I've made it clear to Matt, that's what we expect from him. What have you said to Tim?
Nothing really. You know, a lot of kids try it at this age, so...
Yeah, well, a lot of kids don't try it, too. I'm not saying that Matt's going to be this perfect kid, but if I don't tell him what we expect and why he shouldn't drink, how's he going to know?
You think kids that age really listen?
They never admit it, Bill, but they hear more than you think.
Talk. They hear you. For more information about talking with kids about underage drinking, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Farm goddess, agricultural princess, queen of all that moves. Nah, let's stick with farm babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, we're sticking with all the information you need to start your Thursday off, and helping us out today, Cody Koster, one of the broker analysts, along with us from EverAg down in Chicago, focused in on all things dairy and related to dairy. Cody, thanks for checking in. First item I want to start with is kind of my own personal question. We have continued to see a major split between barrel and block cheese prices. In the past, we talked about how, you know, the margin between those two is usually just a matter of pennies. Well, now we're getting to dimes. What's going on there?
Yeah, right now the block barrel spread that is generically 3 to 4 cents wide, block price over barrel price, is about 30 cents wide. In the past couple sessions, they've been taking the block price down and the barrel price up, trying to narrow that spread, it seems. And that's usually an indication of when the barrel goes up, more or less you know, fast food restaurants kind of picking up steam. And I think that's what we're seeing here as of late.
So we're seeing more of the, dining out driving that trade?
I think so. I think there's more dining out with schools getting back into session, colleges restarting for the year. And I think the dining out is still in the forefront of people's minds.
All right. Well, that answers that quick enough. Now let's also focus in. The harvest has begun for a lot of folks in Wisconsin. Corn silage coming off pretty quick. And then there's the big question mark around North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and what they're yielding. You're kind of keeping an eye on what's happening with that corn price.
Yeah, after the USDA's report that came out late last week, we saw a pretty big drop below $5, especially in the Dease corn contract. And then as soon as we hit $5, we rebounded off that price and have steadily increased higher. And I think what farmers are seeing is a better yield than the USDA might have anticipated, hence the reason corn is kind of creeping higher day by day. I believe that maybe the yields were, you know, they came out with a little bit of a guesstimate there. And now that combines are rolling, we're getting the actual numbers that are saying we have a little bit better of a crop than we thought.
So is that going to factor in as far as overall feed costs for our growers?
I think it will. I think the higher prices here could keep guys holding more grain in their bin instead of, you know, selling outright, which is going to mean a little bit less ground corn for dairy farmers, which could mean a higher price. We could have a higher basis going into the fall here, especially if more guys kind of hold on to that product, which, as you and I kind of talked about, Pam, is leading to more cow slaughter throughout the United States. I think last week's USDA report, cow slaughter was up year over year, 16.8%. And I know we get the new cow slaughter today. If things are still trending that same way, I would imagine we see positive 10%+ on the cow slaughter yet again.
Wow. You know, and that also begs the question, are people downsizing their herds or are people exiting the industry?
I think people are just blatantly exiting the industry. You've seen a little bit of downsizing, but at this point, I think we have a generational gap now. The older generation is looking to get out. Maybe the younger generation does not want to get in. And let's be honest, slaughter prices were just as good, if not better, than selling to your neighbor for the past 4 to 5 weeks. You know, rolling continuously. So with that being said, I think more folks are sending these animals to slaughter, exiting the industry, maybe keeping the land, doing a little bit of harvest crop and selling it to the farmer down the road.
You know, and it's not just happening in the United States. I was talking with Cody Koster, by the way, along with us from EverAg. I see that in the European Union, Holland, for example, same kinds of things. They're looking at backing off.
Yes, yes. We have seen a major reduction in the EU milk, just like overall milk supply, I guess you'd say. And I think they're kind of seeing the same thing that we are. It's finally catching up, and cows are definitely going to sale, and not so much the neighbor down the road, as you mentioned, not just here, but overseas, definitely.
So what else are you keeping an eye on then, Cody? I mean, those are some big picture thoughts. If we're honestly seeing that generational divide in dairy, what else are you going to be keeping an eye on? You mentioned today more slaughter numbers coming out.
Yeah, I think, and our chief economist, Matt Gould, is definitely keeping an eye on it. But if these slaughter rates keep continuing, and if it's like last week's USDA report where slaughter was up, not just over 2022, but over 2029, I think that's a pretty good indication that we might have a little bit of a shift in the dairy industry that we are seeing right in front of us of feed costs are so high, pay prices are so low that it is just making a little bit more sense to exit the industry and save a little bit of that equity that you have built up in the business. So that's what we're really, really keeping an eye on right now.
You know, and I also got to wonder, will we see anything as far as region by region in these numbers? I mean, are these cows exiting universally equal? Is it more from the West, the Midwest?
I think we're seeing it more from the West right now. And a big part of that, I believe, is water restrictions. As more people kind of grow up and move into houses in the West, as more cities need water. I believe they're going to pull a little bit more and more from that, from the dairies, from the farmers, from the grain farmers as they go. And that's going to create an exodus. If your water bill every month goes up an extra $65,000 to $100,000 a month out west, that's a big cramp on the overall money that you were going to try to make. So exiting the industry is happening majorly in Arizona, New Mexico. We're seeing it in California, Washington, and we're also starting to now move to the Midwest.
Oh, well, we are going to keep that conversation going for sure. Cody, I appreciate it as always. Cody Koster joining us live this morning. He is one of the broker analysts with EverAg out of Chicago. And remember, if you're looking to consult on the trends in the dairy industry, EverAg is where you want